Today, what I want to do is I want to give an introduction to the book of Hebrews. Who remembers that I've been saying over the last month or so that we're going to study the book of Hebrews? Can anybody tell me where the book of Hebrews is? In the Bible, amen, amen. 66 books in the Bible, 27 in the New, and Hebrews is in the New Testament, a part of the Bible. So I've been encouraging you to read the book of Hebrews, and I think a lot of you have. And it's got 13 chapters, by the way, so it's easy to read. Our Connect groups have been looking at the book of Hebrews. And so today, what I thought I'd do is just briefly give an introduction to the book of Hebrews, and then next week, start properly with chapter 1. What do you reckon, everybody? Is that okay? So if you haven't read Hebrews, read it. Get a Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, I'll give you one for free. Yeah, absolutely. I've got them all sitting out there on the table. Nobody should, everybody should have a Bible. Nobody should miss out on a Bible. So you can read the book of Hebrews. It's 13 chapters, really easy to read. Now, as we go over this Bible study, or not Bible study, I'm actually going to be just preaching from the book of Hebrews. We're going to have some interruptions. So I'm going to start with chapter 1 next week, but then we've got a guest speaker coming. These are great interruptions. We've got Brett Ryan coming to Real Life Church in a couple of weeks' time. He's the CEO of Focus on the Family. Then guess what, everybody? It's Easter. Easter eggs. Let's not talk about that right now. We've also got Peter Robertson coming. And later on, towards the end of April, we've got somebody else coming. Really good guest speakers who've got the word of the Lord. But in between, when it's my turn to preach or whatever, I'll be returning to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to work our way through it. The other thing I want to say is we're going to have a memory verse each week that we speak from the book of Hebrews. I could see you just gripped by that. Remember when we did the book of Romans? We did the memory verses. And then at the end of it, we had a bit of a quiz, didn't we? Or to see how many people could remember the memory verses. And it was pretty dismal, but at least we had a go. So I don't have a memory verse this week because it's an introduction. But, get into it. And the memory verses are good because what it does do, it gets the word of God into your heart and into your head. It's got to do you good. And then what we'll do is at the end of the series, we'll see who can remember all the memory verses. And if you can remember 90% of them, and it's only going to be like 13 of them. 13 chapters or thereabouts. I'll give you a prize if you can remember. Chocolate. Amen. I don't know. Just thinking about food a lot today. Let's let it go. Amen. So this is just a bit of a brief introduction. No one actually knows. I don't know if you've read about this, but no one actually knows who the human author is of the book of Hebrews. We know that the book of Hebrews was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen. But nobody knows who the human author was of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, great book. It just simply begins with the words, long ago, God spoke. God. So the attention is right on God in the first line. And then the book of Hebrews continues from there. We do know that the book of Hebrews was written around about 65 to 68 AD, thereabouts. And the apostles and the church fathers recognized that Hebrews deserved a place in the Bible. We know these things. The book of Hebrews was written to a church or a group of churches that were located in the ancient city of Rome. Has anybody here ever heard of Rome before? Anybody been to Rome? Some of you have. Well, that's where they were located. These churches also, we also know that they had a lot of Jewish people attending their services, which actually influenced the way in which the book of Hebrews was written, because it contains a lot of Jewish symbolism and concepts. Everybody still with me so far? Because I want to make a point, even though it's an introduction. These churches in Rome, they had gone through quite a bit of persecution. They'd gone through a season of persecution. And now it looked like they were going to go through another season of persecution, especially because there was a young man on the rise, and his name was Nero. Nero was coming, and they anticipated persecution. And nobody likes persecution. Rochelle has been speaking a little bit about that today. And also, so already when Hebrews was written, some of the Christians in Rome, they'd had their property, homes confiscated simply because they were followers of Jesus Christ. And this still happens today. Some of them had even been jailed, just like a men had been jailed. And this Mission Sunday, we must acknowledge that persecution of Christians still happens today. We've got it good here, but we need to remember and pray for the persecuted church. Amen? Imagine being a Christian in North Korea. Come on. Imagine being a Christian in Saudi Arabia. We need to remember our brothers and sisters and stand with them. And this is a good place to say amen. Amen. So consequently, the Roman Christians, they were discouraged by these events of persecution. And some of them had begun to drift away from the faith. So Hebrews is written to these discouraged believers as a powerful encouragement and a warning to never ever give up following Jesus. Everybody look at me. Never give up following Jesus. No matter what's going on in your life, keep following Jesus. And so the writer of the Hebrews said to the discouraged Roman Christians, he said this. He said, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Then he said, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all that he has promised. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Wow. What a great bit of encouragement there. And dear brothers and sisters, now more than ever, the book of Hebrews is relevant to us today. Here in Australia especially, Hebrews is for us, and that's why we're going to be looking at it. We want to be the faithful ones who never give up following Jesus, amen? Yeah. Whose souls will be saved. And like the ancient Roman Christians, we also need encouragement at this time. You need encouragement, I need encouragement. And that is because it's getting tough to be a Christian in Australia. Actually, I'll change that. It's easy to be a nominal Christian in Australia, but it's getting tough if you want to be the real deal. It takes courage today. It takes discipline, actually, and it takes perseverance to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I think it is an understatement to say that there is a barrage of cruel, anti-Christian sentiment being unleashed on several fronts across our nation. And this nasty barrage of attack is impacting everybody. And I think we're all aware of that. From direct mockery of the Bible by the media, especially the media, politicians, activists, and academics, through to the intentional push to socially re-engineer our country, there is a persecution of Christians and the Christian worldview that has never occurred before like this in our nation. Even, and I've been reading social commentary on this matter by non-Christians, even social commentators are becoming concerned and asking the question, what is going on in this country? I was reading one yesterday. It is an alarming situation, the persecution of Christians, that is bad for everybody. And the consequences will be catastrophic in the years ahead. Having said all of that, and that sounds pretty awful, having said all of that, there are many good Christians in Australia, just like you. I'm looking at some good Christians this morning. I am. You're good people. And there's many like us. There are many good Christians in Australia. And there is also a stirring of the Holy Spirit going on across our land. And people are still coming to Jesus Christ across Australia. Amen? In addition, there are many Christians who are concerned about what's happening. And they're raising their voices courageously. But most encouraging of all is that there are many churches like Real Life Church, many churches that are having times of fasting and prayer. We're not the only ones. There's many other churches fasting and praying. And so the battle for Australia is well and truly in progress. And I say, bring it on, amen. And I say also, let's be encouraged by the exhortations and the clear picture of Jesus that we shall discover in the book of Hebrews in the weeks ahead. You will soon pick up, as you read Hebrews, that the writer is eager to explain the truths about Jesus Christ. The writer knew that it is important for all Christians to know what they believe if they are to persevere and be strong in the faith. You got to know what you believe. And it's the same for all of us here today. And dear brothers and sisters in Real Life Church, it's so very important that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we know what we believe in these tumultuous and uncertain times. It's important that we know what we believe about Jesus Christ. And the book of Hebrews that we're going to look at explains a lot about Jesus Christ. And when you are under pressure for your faith, and you might be under more pressure than what you realize in the years to come, when you're under pressure for your faith, you want to be able to stand your ground. And when the pressure eventually lifts, and it does, you still want to be standing your ground. And you can stand strong as a Christian when you know what you believe. That's why it's very, very important to keep coming to church. Don't come to church spasmodically. Come regularly to church. It's important to come to church so you can learn more about Jesus Christ. I promise you, we'll always talk about Jesus Christ in some way at church. And you don't have to be a theologian to learn about Jesus. You don't have to have a degree or be an academic to learn about Jesus or understand about Jesus. Even children can learn and understand about Jesus. So just keep coming to church and learn to read a little bit of your Bible every day, and you will grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In fact, we have, and I just want to promote this. Jim, could you stand to your feet? Do you mind? Stand to your feet. Now, he doesn't have his badge today, and that's just terrible. Terrible. Just rotate around so people can get a look at that handsome face. Amen, amen, amen. Why is Jim standing? It's because Jim, thanks Jim, Jim heads up our new believers class, goes for 30 minutes. And he's thinking, wow, I'd like to do that. It's free. And it's in between our services. And so it's for new believers or for those who want to brush up on their knowledge of Jesus. And you can go to that class, and it goes for 10 weeks and they talk about Jesus. So book your place with Jim after the service. But it's important that we all know what we believe as Christians. If you're not sure what you believe, then you are vulnerable to falling for any trick or lie of the devil. And sadly, a lot of Christians have done that. Could I have some water? Just thank you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Drink. You know, if you don't know who you believe, what you believe, you can end up believing things about God that are simply not true. And your faith then gets eroded, and then you become one of those who drifts away. I'll give you an example. One common misconception about God is that some people believe that God is controlling everything that happens in the world. Even your insurance form, I think, used to, if it still does, used to say, you know, you're insured against acts of God. But God is not controlling everything that's happening in this world. The Bible doesn't even say that He's controlling everything that's going on in the world. If God was running the world, then it would not be in such a mess today. Think about it. If God was controlling everything, then why would He need us to pray? So it's not God, you know, it's also not God's will for all the pain and suffering of humanity. God's not controlling the world. The Bible puts the blame for the pain of the world at the feet of the devil and sin. And so should we. So let's not blame God for the mess. Let's not blame God for bad things that happen. He is a good, good Father. Let's blame the devil. Let's get angry at the devil. Let's get angry at sin. Let's know what we believe. And one day Jesus Christ will return and He'll seize ultimate control. And on that day He will say, enough is enough, and He's going to come back again. Amen. But it's not happened yet. So we need to know what we believe. Amen. Now, as Pentecostal Christians, any Pentecostals here today? Praise God, we're going to have a Bible study about the Holy Spirit tonight. But as Pentecostal Christians, we place an emphasis on experiencing Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so we should. So feelings are a big deal to us. We put an emphasis on feelings. And feelings are important. And feeling God's presence is important, is precious, is special to us. Amen. That's an emphasis we have. Some churches don't have that emphasis. We have that emphasis. We also place a very important emphasis on applying Scripture to our lives. We talk a lot about practical Christian living. Amen? And that's a good thing to do. That's wise. That's smart. You know, and we should do that, and we will continue to do that. However, it's also important that we understand that our feelings and practical living become redundant when, as a Christian, you don't know what you believe. Jesus said it's the truth that will set you free. Jesus said it's the truth, the things the Bible teaches us. It's the truth that sets you free. Jesus did not say your feelings will set you free. Jesus did not say your opinions will set you free. Jesus said it's the truth that will set you free. And you cannot base your Christian life or your understanding of God on your feelings alone. So dangerous to do that. In fact, sometimes your feelings can contradict the truth of God. For example, your feelings may tell you that God is a million miles away. You may feel incredibly alone even sitting in this service. But the Bible says in Hebrews 13 that God has said, I will never abandon you. That's the truth. And it's the truth that brings freedom to you, not flimsy feelings. Truth comes before feelings, you know. And knowing the truth about Jesus is very important to you, to your faith and to your life. And so your feelings and the application of Scripture to your daily life must be founded upon the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Now Jesus, I haven't got much longer to go, but Jesus made a big deal about authentic truth. We know from the Bible that Jesus did not believe in relative truth. Everybody understand that? Relative truth. Relative truth is where your truth is right for you and my truth is right for me. I'm so glad that you're a Christian, but I'm on a different path. I found a different truth. Relative truth. I'm so happy that you're a Christian, but it's just not for me. Everybody understand what I'm saying? We're familiar with that kind of thinking, relative truth. Find your own truth. But the Bible does not agree with relative truth. The Bible's opinion would be that's a load of rubbish. Jesus believed in absolute truth. The same truth is for everyone. It is an absolute truth in Romans 3:23. It is an absolute truth that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's for everybody. We're all sinners. That is the truth. Equally, it's an absolute truth in Romans 10 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nobody's outside of salvation when they call upon the name of the Lord. That's absolute truth. If someone tells you that they do not believe in absolute truth, then just ask them if they are sure about that. Interestingly, Jesus boldly declared about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus is the embodiment of all truth. And the Bible, everybody listen to this, the Bible alone, this upsets a lot of people. The Bible alone is our yardstick for measuring truth about Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. The Bible alone is our yardstick for measuring truth about Jesus Christ. There is no other yardstick for truth. And no wonder the Bible is being attacked right now in Australia. So my point is, one of my points is this, is that you want to make sure, I want to make sure, you want to make sure that the Jesus Christ that you claim to worship is actually the same Jesus Christ who is described in the Bible. Very, very important. I met people who say they follow Jesus, just like you have. But it soon becomes apparent that the Jesus that they claim to worship is not the same Jesus that I claim to worship. One of us has the wrong Jesus. Our Jehovah Witness friends who meet across the street there at Gosnell's train station, nice people. They meet over there to convert people, and they're really nice, lovely, friendly people. I've got no problems in being their friend at all. I told you, you all know my uncle was a Jehovah Witness, and he was one of the best human beings I'd ever met. And Jehovah Witnesses talk about Jesus sincerely, and they use some of the same words about Jesus that we do, but they're not worshiping the same Jesus as me or you. And so you've got to be really careful. They're worshipping, this is an example I'm trying to make, they're worshipping a man-made God. They've reconstructed Jesus. And I'm not saying those people standing over the road have done that, they've just bought into that lie. But they've reconstructed Jesus, and they say that Jesus was created just like the angels were. Well, Hebrews chapter 1 totally contradicts that. But JWs have done this. They've reconstructed Jesus by literally and dishonestly rewriting the Bible to say a different message to what was originally meant. If you ever speak with a Jehovah's Witness, always use your own Bible, don't use theirs. Because it's different. The truth is, Jesus Christ is not a creation. Jesus Christ is the Creator, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator, Almighty God. And we got to know what we believe so we can be strong and well-grounded so we can persevere in the days ahead. And we can know what we believe because we have the same yardstick that Christians have always used down through the ages. And that is the unchanged Holy Bible. We may have updated English versions, but the message remains the same and unchanged. And sometimes I listen to fellow Christians, friends, and I wonder which Jesus they are worshipping, as some say outrageous things about Jesus that are just simply not true. You know, they're going to do something wrong and say, hey, JC understands. No, he doesn't understand what you've just done wrong. What people do, some do, what they've done is they've constructed Jesus into the Jesus that matches the lifestyle that they want to live. They don't want to change for Jesus. So they make up a new Jesus that fits neatly with them because truth is relative. And so what they do, they want a Jesus that is a non-interfering, non-demanding, quiet, nice kind of Jesus who they can call on when they're having a little bit of trouble. If that is the kind of Jesus you're looking for, then you will never be free and you will never be right with Almighty God. But it's the real truth about Jesus, who he is, what he has done, and what he expects from us that sets you free and leads to great reward. And the book of Hebrews, nearly finished, the book of Hebrews has many themes, but its key theme behind all of its encouragement to Christians is Jesus Christ. Who he is, what he has done, and what he expects from us. Amen? And throughout our series on the book of Hebrews, we're going to look at Jesus Christ so that we can get a fresh realignment with what the Bible says about our Lord and Savior. And I'm praying, and I'll be praying a lot this week especially, that this series will strengthen and encourage you and me. And I also pray this series will help you know what you believe so that you can persevere and overcome and thrive for Jesus. Hebrews was written to encourage Christians who were having a really hard time. And some of them felt like giving up. Some had suffered significant loss. Others had been in jail for a while. And they hadn't had a lot of good news. And they were nervous about this young man, Nero. But the writer of Hebrews wrote to them a beautiful scripture. In Hebrews 4 verse 16, it says, it's a beautiful scripture. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. The writer of Hebrews didn't promise that they would have no more persecution. But what he did say is that God has grace to help us when we need it most. And I just think today we need to call upon the name of the Lord. Maybe you feel discouraged. Maybe you feel like giving up on your faith. Maybe you're feeling persecuted. Maybe you're copping it at home. Maybe there's a struggle at work. You've got to be careful what you say at work. And you think, man, I'm under so much pressure. Well, why don't we, at the end of this service right now, come boldly to the throne of our gracious God and receive his mercy and grace to help us when we need it most. Let's just pray, shall we? And Father, I just thank you for this wonderful congregation. I thank you, Lord, for devoted Christians, people who love the Lord. And Father, we just, together, we want to thank you for Jesus. But sometimes, Father, life does get really tough. Actually, while I'm praying, could you, everybody, just stand to your feet. You've been sitting a long time. Just keep your eyes closed, but stand to your feet. Let's just focus upon Jesus. Father, sometimes we do find it a bit tough. And sometimes persecution can be so subtle. Lord, it could be just distractions that keep pulling us away from you. And we become dry. And we feel like you are a million miles away. But we thank you for that note of encouragement that there is a throne of grace. Thank you that we could come to your throne today. And I just pray for my brothers and sisters right now for a spirit of encouragement. They'll encourage them in Jesus' name. And I was just wondering, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you say, man, I feel really quite discouraged for this reason, that reason, whatever the reason may be. But man, I could do with just some fresh touch from God, some encouragement from the Holy Spirit. I need some grace today. And if that's you today, you say, yeah, man, I feel like giving up sometimes. Well, don't give up. Persevere. But let's come to the throne of grace today in Jesus' name. That's you. I'd love to pray for you. At the conclusion of the service right now, just a wave. You're waving to me, you're waving to God, saying, yeah, that's me today. God bless you. God bless you down the back there. God bless you on my left. God bless you on my right. On my right again. God bless you. Anybody else? We're just going to pray. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Anybody else? Yeah, down there. Yep, thank you. And Father, life can be discouraging at times. Absolutely. We all experience it from time to time. But we just pray for one another, and we especially pray for those today, Lord, who are just feeling really discouraged for whatever the reason. But we thank you that we can just step into your presence right now. Let's all do that, eh? Just by faith, come on, step into his presence. Come to the throne of grace. And there's help for us today. And Lord, we just drink in that help. We just drink in that encouragement. Pray for those who have raised their hands that right now, Lord, you'll just envelop them with your presence. Envelop them with encouragement. Lord, we pray encouragement, discouragement will lift and encouragement will come. And you'll lift our brothers and sisters up into heavenly places today. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Pray for those who felt like giving up. Lord, we just pray that they will persevere, that you'll bring them through. Because, Lord, following you, Lord, brings great reward. So we pray for one another in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you for your presence in Jesus' name.